whatever y'all do, don't make her cry.
Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, everyone. This is Minister Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio. This is a great night. So glad you're all tuning in. So stay tuned until after the song, I Am the Treasure. But you know you all are. God bless you all.
From the day I was born,
again, this is Minister Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio. I'm so glad you're all tuning in. So glad you all chose to be a part of us tonight. You know, if you've been tuning in, you know, we've been having some great shows, some great, you know, topics. People just talking and sharing, you know, their views on life. When it comes to church, when it just comes, you know, to life in our homes, our families, and different things like that. You know, we all deal with different issues. We all deal with different circumstances, but at the end of the day, I believe God gets the glory regardless. We can't rob him of his glory. He is worthy of all praise, and I'm going to give God praise. And I hope all of y'all out there that may be listening, that you realize that the breath that you're breathing is enough to give God praise for. It's a great thing. It's a great opportunity. Just so thankful just to be alive. Just to see another day, you know what I'm saying? And it's just a grateful thing. And tonight, our topic we're going to be talking about tonight is dealing with confronting the Jezebel and Ahab spirit in the church. I'm looking forward to Apostle Young coming on the line with us and Brother D.A. coming on the line with us. But right now we have my brother Sword on the line with me right now, man. And I'm so happy that he chose to join us tonight. What's going on, bro?
God bless you, bro. I'm holding on to God's unchanging hand, man.
Yeah,
won't
man.
Let him go. I won't let him go until he bless me.
Wow. That's I hear you on that, man. I hear you on that. So how was your day, man? How's everything going so far your week? Good?
Hey, listen, you know, by faith, all is well. But on the natural side, a storm exists, man. But nonetheless, I'm going to press on, man, and continue to survive off of grace, man. Kind of like sometimes me and the old man, which is my father, be riding in the truck, the work truck, be low on gas. And the old man be like, man, this truck is only riding off of fumes. That was a figure of speech that is low on gas. And I'm saying, you know, like, you know, an older brother asked me today, he was like, you know, how's everything? And I told him, I said, you know, it's kind of like I'm riding off of fumes. But my motto is, you know, it's grace. It's not gas that's keeping me going. You know, fumes from the gas, you know, they used to believe, the old folks used to believe if you put a little bit of urine inside of the gas tank, that'll get you that extra mile to the gas station. So when they say riding off of fumes, they saying they real low, just about out of gas. They consider it out of gas. So the fumes alone, the figure of speech is the fumes is what got them going. So what I'm saying is, I'm riding off of fumes, but that's a figure of speech of I'm existing off of grace, and that's it. Because on my own strength, you know, I've been out of gas, man. I done went left, you know, in the midst of my storm, you know. But yet, because of grace, I'm surviving, man. I'm in the midst of, you know, some beautiful people. And sometimes the enemy say, you know, walk away. No, I can't walk away. I have to maintain with what God is doing and be still and know that he's in control.
Well, I'm going to say one thing on that, man. When you're running low, and a lot of us may be running low on fumes, you know, using that scenario or that parable like that. But the main thing is to trust God and make sure that we fill up with his spirit, with his anointing, with his power, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, our faith, even if we're riding low on fumes, we have to have a destination in mind, because that means we need to get to a place where we can fill up, because we don't want to burn out and be stuck somewhere, not able to move, you know what I'm saying, not able to go nowhere. So even if we're low on fumes, and we're getting low, we got to make sure that we get to that destination where we can fill up at. And I believe that's where it talks about in the Bible, where it says, you know, man can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know, a lot of times, you know, bread can get us to a certain place in life. You know what I mean? But we got to make sure we continue to eat out of the mouth of God, man, those words. That's what make us fill up. That's what make us get to the different destinations that he has assigned for us to make it to. And a lot of times, and I can say this to even for myself, you know, sometimes we be riding around, but we riding around into places wasting the fuel that we have. We might be wasting fuel on people who, you know what I'm saying, we pouring into, and it's like we're pouring into an empty bottle with a hole in the bottom of it. It's not filling up, so we're wasting a lot of stuff. So I think we need to, you know, a lot of times, use the fuel that we have and make the best of it and make sure that it's about the purpose of God. You know what I'm saying?
Right. You know, life hits each one of us different. You know, I understand, you know, being in the church, being full of, you know, full of God's spirit, the word being in you. Like David said, I hid your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Life, man, life itself sometimes, man, it hits you so hard that sometimes you look around and you be like, Jesus, my God, why is thou forsaking me? Or you might experience, you know, feeling like, you know, God is distant, you know, like he's not listening. When sometimes some of his best answers is when he's quiet, you know, and that gives you the test whether you're going to endure and keep going. See, me personally, in my storm today, I kind of know too much about God and kind of seen his mighty hand move that right now, in the midst of the storm, I'm not listening to the flesh of the devil to say God is not going to do it. God ain't listening. He can't. No, God can do all things. So I know his testimony. I know God's testimony. I know how he divided the Red Sea. See, I believe in the word of God. I know Moses in the fire, a burning bush. You know what I mean? I know, you know, three Hebrew boys was in a fiery furnace, and their clothes, they didn't even come out smelling like no smoke. I believe, you know, God's testimony of Daniel being put in a lion's den, and the lion ain't even, you know, touch him. You know, so that's God's testimony. And I know God can do these supernatural things. And so, you know, in the midst of my storm, amen, I'm feeling like, you know, like, hey, my God, why is thou forsaking me? But yet in all, my confidence and my faith, I know he hasn't forsaken me. It's kind of like Jesus, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. But then like, you know, that's that, the human side of us. Sometimes we revert back to some of the old things that we know. I know how to get over this thing. I know how to survive. I know how to do it my way. But it comes out better when we just stay humble and endure the pain. Because the pain of doing what's right is so much better than the pain of suffering when you do wrong, you know. But, you know, pain can make you grow, and pain can destroy you too. So I experience both pains. I'd rather have the pain that I got today, knowing that I'm doing the right thing, than the pain that I endured when I was in darkness, when I was in hell, living a life that's real chaotic. I'm talking about change, but not physical change. You know, people,
yeah, spiritual bondage.
You ain't in no physical prison, you know, don't mean you ain't locked down and bound up to some things. I think you mentioned it before. Dirty Church Radio is open for people to be able to talk about stuff that you normally can't talk about, because Jesus said he's coming for a church without spot or blemish, a clean church. But yet we human, you know, and being human, there might be some things that we might don't want to talk about, because we're supposed to be joy of the Lord inside of the church. But you could come to Dirty Church Radio and express yourself, even if you find yourself in a messed up relationship, man, or when you find yourself don't know how to control your kids, when they acting real chaotic, you know, it saves them from the destruction that's out there. You know,
well,
so
tonight,
you know,
not to cut you off, but tonight I just want to actually start out with the topic that we are going into tonight about dealing with Jezebel and Ahab. And it's a few things I just want to read to get it started, some things that I had came across. Just for those listeners out there, that may not know or may know, but tonight we encourage people that may be listening right now. We want you to call in. And if you got questions, if you need some answers, we want you to call in at 773-897-6319. 773-897-6319. But right now, we want to talk about Ahab for a minute. It's something that talks about how Ahab is a permissive spirit who allows Jezebel to go wild and out of control. He is the authority figure that she gets her initial authority from. He may seem masculine in some ways, but he is passive towards her. There are some good resources concerning this subject. And basically, Ahab is a man who has no real male hormones, in a sense, or refuses to act like a man and assume responsibility. It almost seems like he was born missing few body parts. He turns his head towards Jezebel, and he ignores the destruction that she calls. But he uses the destruction as a benefit while she pillages off of others. It says he is wimpy and uncaring and ignores the destruction. He looks to his Jezebel as his strength and admires her. He may even think she is sexy and will offer the souls up of others to stay near her. Maybe she is his wife or his lovely colleague. But it talks about this combination causes pain for others. She is a liar and a slanderer. And he personally does not care about anything she destroys. And right there, just dealing with Ahab, it was something else that was written on this thing. And it talks about, it says, there were not, they were not born that way. Ahab, it says, normally Ahabs are not born that way. Ahab is a spirit. And sometimes early in childhood experiences create these scenarios. It says a weak or missing male father figure and an overbearing mother figure contribute to this. The man can be very intelligent and social, but he will have neither the character nor the interest in stopping injustice. His lack of action produces a comfort zone, and he benefits from the Jezebel's destructive behavior. He will defer responsibility and authority to Jezebel, who takes over. And just talking with that sword, just on just that little segment right there that I read, what do you have to say about that?
You know, it has a lot of, you know, biblical truth to it. You know, Ahab, in the Bible, he wanted something that wasn't his, and he cried like a baby because the man that he went to either buy it or trade the land, he wanted some land. And the man said, no, I'm not giving up my land. You know, so he was, Ahab was like very sad about the whole ordeal. Now he's the king. He's running the government. And so he chose not to eat. And his wife seen him sad. Jezebel seen him sad and said, why is you sad? And he told her, I went to neighbors to try to get this land, and he wouldn't give me the land. I offered him money. I even told him I'd trade him and give him another piece of land. And she said, what is wrong with you? I'm going to get the land for you. You know, and she lied and set it up to look like Naboth was blaspheming God, you know. You know, and to blaspheme God, you'd be stoned to death. And he was stoned to death, you know. She had two men to falsely accuse him for blaspheming God. And then Naboth died, and she told her husband Ahab, go get the land. She killed off God's prophet, or the true way of life, to exploit other people.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it has a lot of truth to what you're saying about how Ahab was weak. He was weak. And he allowed the woman to dominate. You know,
okay.
He allowed the woman to dominate. And you have that today. You got some men who won't stand up. They allow the women to rule them and dominate them. But that's not the way God orchestrated it when it comes to a union with a male and a female. You know,
well, you
being
know,
weak-minded is
tonight,
walking like Ahab.
Okay, I hear what you're saying right there, right? I just want to, I'm going to just flip it just a little bit. I mean, I know, Ahab and Jezebel, they were actually individuals. They were people. But tonight, we're going to deal a lot with the spirit of them, the spirit, that same spirit that was then, how it exists now. and the different scenarios of how to identify it and know what it looks like within our churches. And this is one more thing that I'm going to read before we actually go a little further into it. And just to get you, you know what I mean, sparked up or get, you know, some different thoughts might come to your mind by me reading this. And it's talking about when confronting Jezebel's and Ahab's spirit. It says, when the Jezebel spirit is confronted with the truth, it would perceive the confronter as the enemy, then counterattacks with assaults against this enemy. In fact, no greater wrath seems to occur than when a controlling person is confronted. The person will never admit guilt or relinquish the sense of power and will retaliate against the confronter. Defensiveness is a common reaction when a suggestion is made. Pride with a mixture of insecurity, which is deep-rooted, cannot take correction because all correction is perceived as rejection. Therefore, you will never hear a person with a controlling spirit admit he is wrong. It is always the fault of someone else. Never is there confession of guilt or true remorse. Then it says, the spirit of Jezebel is in contrast to the will of God. Her will has become God. Jezebel's will has become God. Her will must be accomplished regardless of the consequences. Not only did Jezebel steal authority, she manipulated those in leadership. She used lies and distortions. God waits for someone to stand up to her, to confront her. Many succumb to the Ahab spirit and simply turn their heads from her tactics. They reason that, after all, she is religious and works hard in the church. The greatest weakness among leaders is the fear of confrontation. They want peace without paying the price of confronting the manipulation and controlling tactics of the Jezebel spirit. So, Sword, by hearing that, and hold on, right now we have our apostle Louis Young on the line with us. What's going on, bro?
Grace and peace, brothers.
How you doing, man?
I'm blessed, man. I'm blessed.
Did you just listen to what I was reading? Did you just hear?
Yeah, I heard it.
So what take what did you have on that just by hearing what was just read so far, just that little part?
Huh. It pretty much you know that's a shame already. That thing, it broke that thing down in retrospect, man, and it basically lets you know what you're dealing with, and what you're. Okay, let me just now. I don't know if I'm supposed to be talking, but let me just give you a quick synopsis, man, about Ahab. And I ain't even gonna talk about Jezebel for in this segment. I'm gonna talk about Ahab.
Yeah, did with Ahab.
Ahab was a spineless jellybag punk.
Uh huh.
And you got a whole bunch of Ahabs running around today. They don't know what their purpose is. They don't know what their place is. They don't know what their position is. That's why you got a whole bunch of And don't take what I'm getting ready to say out of context. All women are not Jezebels.
No, you got some men with the spirit of Jezebel.
You got men that got that spirit too. But that spirit of Ahab is a jelly back, wimp knee punk. And that's what's wrong with a lot of brothers today. They being led instead of being the leaders. And that's what Ahab was. How you going crying to your wife because of something another man did? That's what Ahab did. Ahab went crying to Jezebel because of what Elijah did to her prophets.
Yeah, he did.
Now, if that's not a pump, please explain to me what is. And that same punk spirit is, we're dealing with that same punk spirit in the world today. Men not being men, letting their wives and their women dictate to them what they should or shouldn't do.
Mm. You know something, I think a big problem with that too is when the man walks in this life headless, when he has broken the chain of the order, trying to lead without a head, where he completely leaves God out of the play. He doesn't put his head on in order to be the head of the woman. So you really can't, it's kind of hard for a woman to follow the man if he doesn't have his head on.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Without your head, you won't have no sense of direction.
No sense of direction, you know what I'm saying?
Which means you don't have any stability. And women, they feel secure when they see stability.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's why these days and times you got women making all the decisions in the home. The bottom line is, men got to come from, they got to break this Jezebel, come from under this Jezebel influence, and get the mind of God. Once they get the mind of God, then they can walk in their full authority. You can't walk in your full authority if you don't first have, if you haven't even tried to even tap into the mind of God. Because in the mind of God, there's complete and distinct order. But if you don't even have an inkling or what the purpose of man was for God even creating them, you don't even have a sense of your own identity. And that's what's going on in society today. You got men don't know whether or not they like men or women, because they suffering from identity crisis because they don't even know who they are. How can you know who you are if you don't even have your head on straight?
Apostle, that thought right there, don't forget, I want to read this because I know this. Once I read this right here, it's going to take everyone somewhere else. I'm telling you, I just want to read this little part right here. It says, as for the Ahab spirit, it is known to abdicate his authority. It speaks of a mindset that avoids confrontation and denies fault. The spirit of Ahab is weak and fearful. It loves its position, but fears confrontation. Working in tandem, the spirit of Ahab and Jezebel quietly form a codependent relationship. Both will need and feed off the other in order to accomplish their goals. A pastor influenced by an Ahab spirit will need the help of someone with the Jezebel spirit in order to maintain position and to entrench his popularity. The pastor may allow this person to exercise his or her gifts for his own selfish agenda, and that it is only to gain popularity at any cost. In acting in this way, any previous flow or true prophecy that was there would be given less importance and eventually would be silenced. When this happens, a spiritual vacuum will be created in their church.
Well, I'm gonna get real, and I don't know if this here, you know, I'm gonna go ahead and do it. I'm gonna be real transparent, man. I'm gonna be real, and I don't mind. What we talking about tonight? I lived it. So, one thing I can say is what I'm talking about is from my own personal experience. All right, because I was married to Jezebel.
Wow.
That's why a ministry that had close to 200 members in it dwindled down to having 4 members. And it was because It was because of the spirit of Jezebel. But it was so bad with me, I couldn't even recognize what the spirit was until it was too late. And because I sat and unaware, watched this spirit totally desecrate the ministry that God put in my hands. I was sleeping with Jezebel. I was ministering with Jezebel. I built ministry with Jezebel and didn't even realize who I was sleeping with until it was too late.
That's
and the sad part about it, people was telling me what was going on, but I was so blind to the fact what it was, so I couldn't even see what was right in front of my face. So now I can see that spirit a mile away. I know a Jezebel spirit when I see one, Jack.
Wow.
Go ahead.
I want you to keep going, right? I just want you to keep going, but I'm just going to add this to it, right? It says, they gain power by destroying others. It is like an adrenaline rush when they win over someone. They manage to get in positions of authority and are difficult to displace once there.
Yep.
They are controlling, manipulated, and bossy. They can either be warlike in their personalities so that they are intimidating, or so sweet, perfect, deceitful, timid, and sneaky, they are able to fool and recruit others to join them. Sometimes they can be very charming and charismatic, critical of others, vicious to the point of bloodthirsty. They are never wrong. They recruit others in their charges against their victims. They act to persuade recruits and do not give up this activity until the recruits are won over. If the potential recruits do not cooperate and buy into things, this angers them. I'm just going to stop right there, but it's a whole list of stuff right there, man.
Mm-hmm. Everything you just read, I experienced all of that, man. I experienced all of it, dude. I mean, to where, man, dude, I'm going to have to write a book one day. I'm talking about to where it was so bad, I would give orders, she would go behind my back and totally disregard what I said.
Well, was it like this? It says they lie and they believe their own lie. Avoiding the truth or intentionally acting to withhold truth is a part of this. False picture is presented to others.
Yep.
Impulsive, chaotic at times, lack of remorse after hurting someone, they justify the harm.
Yep, that's her. That's her.
That's something. That's deep.
That spirit,
deep right there.
That spirit is alive and doing his job this day. And I'm not telling you nothing I heard. People of God and people that's listening on this broadcast, I'm telling you what I lived.
Well, let me ask you this. Did the love that you had for her put you in an Ahab spirit unknowingly because you were blinded by the love?
Exactly. That's a good that's a good play on words, Jay, because that's exactly what it was. And she used that to her advantage.
And then your thought of not wanting to be a man that fell in his relationship or fell as a leader and a pastor, you did a lot of compromising to keep a lot of the chaos from continuing.
Yep.
Wow. That's deep.
Yep. And that's why, Jay, and I'm not ashamed, you know, and maybe this is how I'm going to get my complete healing. that's one of the main reasons why I always had fear of doing it again.
Wow. Wow.
I would like to comment a little bit, Jay.
Go ahead, man. You right there. Go ahead, Sword.
I take my hat off to the brother because it takes strength to be able to put your business out there on the street, but yet God allows us to go through things to be a testimony to others.
Yeah.
My experience and understanding of this Jezebel spirit, Revelation talks about Jezebel, you know, and how, you know, she seduces God's people. But I'm taking it on another level, on a spiritual form. And it says that in Revelation chapter 2, it says she called herself a prophetess. Now, I'm looking at the spirit of Jezebel. You got a lot of high-class, so-called prophetess, female, seen sisters who knows is up in the cloud, man. And they feel like they are in the position of authority, and they only need to humble themselves and get underneath subjection and learn that they're not the one that's in authority. First God is, and then God, like Jay was talking about the protocol with the head order, you know, God being the head. The scripture says this, not me. The head of the woman is the man. The head of the man is Christ. The head of Christ is God overall. So respecting God as being the head overall, this Jezebel spirit that has made its way into the church in Revelation and call herself a prophetess, she holds a high spirit. And Jay, you just got finished reading something about how, you know, she won her way, and she used manipulation, and she lied, and she tried to recruit people to get her her will off and to get her ways off. You know, everything you just read, man, portrays this certain demonic spirit that's over some sisters, man, who feel like they are so high class and God's gift to the world, instead of humble themselves and realize they ain't no better than the next person. When God mm-hmm. looks at them, and when God looks at them, he see flesh just like he see anybody else. The sun, when the sun shines, it shines on the just as well as the unjust. You know, Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Don't feel like you so holy, you know, because people, they feel like because they don't smoke, they don't drink, and they ain't out committing fornication, that they holy. Holy is more than that. It deals with an attitude and a loving spirit. Because the Jews didn't smoke, drink. They wasn't
That's
running
right.
around. But
mm-hmm.
God didn't consider a lot of religions don't smoke, don't drink. You know, there's one religion, they members can't even be with another person of the opposite sex in private. Okay, that's their way of doing things to eliminate the flesh and fornication. But however they do it, you got some religions who don't believe in drinking and smoking and so forth. But that don't mean that they're holy in God's eyesight. And so inside of the church, you have a lot of people because they don't smoke and they don't drink. I'm talking about the Jezebel spirit. You know, they feel like they're better than other sisters. They feel like they're better than other people. And actually, they hold tradition higher than the commands of God. God
uh-huh.
said, love be one another. He ain't
okay.
said, separate yourself and act like you got to keep your nose up in the clouds and, you know, and, you know, you so high class.
Let me ask this question right here. And this is no disrespect to women pastors or men pastors or nothing like that. I'm talking about we're talking about a spirit here. And if this spirit is in you, oh well. You know what I'm saying? But if it does, and I'm asking Apostle this, does a woman with the Jezebel spirit right, who's in leadership of a church, but she has the Jezebel spirit. The men in her church, does she produce Ahabs?
Yeah, of course. That's an automatic yes.
Yeah.
That's an automatic yes. Because anything other than Ahab is going to rise against her. So her main agenda is to empower all the women that she can and disenfranchise the men.
Right.
That's her ultimate goal.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Her ultimate goal is to empower women. Let me tell you something. I'm not going to start calling no names, but you got a lot of these women's conferences that's going on and all these different things, and I'm not going to say all women's conferences are bad,
nah.
But pay attention to the theme and the schematic of the conference. You can tell from the theme and the schematic of the conference that the person that's in charge is under a Jezebel spirit.
Wow.
Yeah, so, yeah, to answer your question, it's an indefinite yes, because in order for her to maintain her position of authority, she has to make sure that the men are being ruled through the Ahab mindset.
So what that does is, then, what you're saying, what that does is, by that leader having that Jezebel spirit in the miniature, she creates Ahabs. Now those Ahabs seek out other Jezebel spirits.
Of course.
And it keeps continuing and creating that cycle. So
yep.
Now you got leaders out of, or men with the Ahab spirit out of the church, starting churches, because Ahab is intelligent. Ahab is smart because, I mean, listen, he's the one with the position that Jezebel uses.
Mm-hmm.
So a Jezebel always seeks that authoritative position, but likes to work behind the scenes. And she needs that puppet.
Exactly. Ahab has the look of authority, but the true authority is with Jezebel.
Right.
Wow. And so let me ask you this question. Let me ask this question. Do you believe a lot of times the reason why a lot of brothers aren't really coming to church, because church seems to be more modeled or presented in the woman's favor than in the man's favor?
Of course. It's either two reasons why a brother refuses to go to a church that his wife is attending. Either he feels like the male pastor is trying to Don Juan all the women, or the female pastor is trying to dominate all the men.
Hmm.
Now, since I'm talking, let's open up another can of worms. You know, if you really want to get technical, since we're talking about Jezebel pastors, especially the women Jezebel pastors, 9 times out of 10, a woman Jezebel pastor is either married to a faggot or not married at all.
Mm-hmm.
Run the gauntlet. Do the history. Look at most of your female pastors that's pastoring under that Jezebel spirit. They either not married, or they married to a real docile brother that don't have a lot to say. They come to church, they do whatever they're gonna do, and then they go on home. So let me ask this: if the man is supposed to be in authority, why does the female pastor that's not married gets married and can't? And first of all, she gets married. If she's married to a preacher, how come she can't sit down and let him take the leadership role? No, this is what she's going to do. She's going to become the bishop and going to let him be the pastor. anymore, she'll be affirmed as an apostle and let her husband be the pastor. But she still want to be in the position of authority.
You know what happens with that too? Because normally the woman that's in that position, and I'm just saying it like this, be the one that can out-preach the husband. Or out, she's like the one that's more convincing with the word, or more convincing with the administrating of you know, the church or the ministry.
Well, so, well, yeah, I agree with you. But see, thank God that all women don't fall in that category. Because I know a husband and wife. Right now, they both are preachers. One is. I ain't gonna get start calling no names or start giving titles. I'm telling you right now, she can preach her husband under the pew. She can preach her husband under the pews, but she honors her husband as the head of the church. All right. That's a woman that knows her place, she knows her identity, and she's not influenced by the spirit of Jezebel. But contrary to that one or two, you got thousands of women that do not honor protocol. I don't care if you know you can preach better than your husband. Juanita Bynum is a prime example of that. I could call her name because she's a world-renowned figure. The reason why her and her husband had a falling out, it wasn't just because he put his hands on her. She is a prime example of a woman that's influenced under the Jezebel spirit. And I know somebody listening to this broadcast might not agree, but I'm telling you, she will never have a successful marriage with any other man in ministry because of the spirit that she has. She has a Jezebel spirit. She has a spirit where she has to be in control. She has a spirit where she has to have the final say-so in any situation. And then a woman that falls under that category will never have a successful marriage with a dominant male man of God. It'll never work.
Well, Pastor, while you on there, right, could you tap into the Peter Pan Jezebel spirit?
We might need a whole other thing for that.
Yeah, we might. Okay. It's going to be another segment. It's going to be another segment of this this show, because this right here, this one's broad. Like, it's a lot of information concerning this. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, well, I'll give you a little bit. Peter Pan, the Peter Pan syndrome in the church is those churches that the leader does not want the people that's under him or her to grow up spiritually. Now, when I say grow up spiritually, when you can start preaching meat to them instead of milk. And when I say milk, milk is that ABC gospel where you give them a bunch of emotionalism, jargon, a whole bunch of cliches. They shout, they dance for 40 minutes, then y'all go home.
Okay.
All right. Don't want
to say Peter Pan gives them enough just to keep biting, but not giving them enough to actually fill them to a point where they be spiritually mature, get spiritually mature. So he keeps them kind of spiritually malnutrition.
He keeps them spiritually entertained.
Okay.
He feeds their emotion instead of feeding their spirit.
And that keeps them like the Lost Boys.
Like the Lost Boys, where they can't develop a spiritual mind, so they become dependent like what you read earlier, they become dependent on Peter Pan. Peter Pan makes all the decisions. Peter Pan says what they're going to do, how they're going to do it. Everything is delegated by whatever Peter Pan says.
Would you say they have little or poor self-control?
They have no self-control. They have no self-control. So if they don't have no self-control, that means they can't sit down long enough to get a good word. Because what they want to do, because they don't have self-control, all they want to do is run around the church, speak in tongues, shout and dance. But after they finish shouting and dancing, what do they have to combat the wiles of the devil? Because you can say what you want to say. After you finish dancing, if you ain't got no word, the devil is not afraid of your shouting and your praising. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. But it don't say nothing about the devil being afraid of it. The devil acknowledges the word of God. That's the only thing that makes the devil afraid, the word of God. But see, that kind of word is digested when you are mature in God. But if you go to a church where all y'all do 90% of the time is run around the church, dance, and speak in tongues, how will you ever mature in God? That's the Peter Pan syndrome. Under the auspices of Ahab and Jezebel.
Oh, I like this one, right? I just came across this. It says, they can be religious but mirror spirituality of others. Has no depth of their own, cannot really relate to God, but may express faith of some sort. Expressing faith may be useful in impressing someone. Faith and religion to them is something you do. It does not really change your life. They know the right, like it says, they know the right words to say, so they know how to, great actors.
Yep, there you go.
And you know a great actor is? That's a hypocrite. Hypocrite is someone who's faking. They appears to be true and right, but really they got a hidden agenda and they just like a puppet. They acting.
Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof.
They can appear to be, like he just said, godly, but it's just an act. It's not real. You know, when you walk with God, you walk with God. Whatever you is, whatever you do, you interact with him, you talk with him, you got peace with him, and it is what it is. You're not faking around nobody. I don't have to fake today. I could be myself. You know, I'm not trying to appear to be something that I'm not. It's either you accept me or you don't. But this pretender, this actor, they have to, at the drop of the dime, like you said, they can act religious at some point, you know. But yet, they acting.
You just read that.
They acting, and to act is to be a hypocrite. So actually what these people are, they faking that they really is touched by God and anointed and walking in the Spirit.
But
when they're by themselves, they're sick and sad and crying. They appear, they're phony, like you said. You know, before you read that, I'm going to let you read, I'm going to say this here. Most of these people is people who have been through some type of depressed or trauma in their life, and they're emotional hide now is being amongst this Jezebel spirit. And they don't have no self agenda. They underneath the control of somebody else. Their personality, when you look at their personality, it's not their own. It's somebody else's. So they mimicking somebody else, and they mimicking Jezebel.
And that's Jezebel what it says. Spirit. It says they mirror spirituality of others. So they reflect, you know what I'm saying, the look, you know what I mean, of others. But check this. Hold on. Let me just read this one thing right here, right? It says also they are the repeat offender character type. It says they it does not seem to learn from their mistakes. They repeat mistakes, causing more undue hardship on others. It is like they just don't get it. They cannot seem to make the connection between behavior and consequences, and that the behavior is really wrong. They will first deny wrongdoing, then admit it, apologizing, but really this does not register in their brain because they will go right out and do it again.
Yep.
They make excuses rather than express true understanding of their wrongdoings.
Mm-hmm.
And they put others at risk.
Yep. I lived all that, brother. I lived all of that.
Hey, man, that's deep, man. You know,
I'm looking at God, man.
God is, like, really, like, talking to me, man, about this whole thing, man. Because, like, you could be around people, man, and you can see actually what you just read.
And yeah.
So, I lived it.
Then you trying to figure out, you know, did God purpose for me to hear this so I can, move on? Or do I continue to, like, turn the other cheek and act like they just like me, when really they fake and they phony, and they don't, when they violate me, they don't even realize they violate me. You just read that. You know, because, like, you know, we around these people, man. You talking about religious people. You talking about, Revelation talks about J.F.'s spirit is in the church. And he said, if you don't get rid of this and repent, I'm going to cause sickness to overtake her and everybody that's following her. You know, Revelation said.
So, you know what's so deep, right? Also, if you reject them, it says they will just realign with another person who feels sorry for them.
That's what they do. They play the sympathy card.
Say that again.
It says if they get rejected by you, they will just realign with another person who feels sorry for them and start another life.
Yep. I lived all that, bro. Man, one day, Jay, I'm going to have to share my testimony on the thing, man. Because everything we're talking about, I lived that, man. Everything. Everything you just read is like a synopsis of my whole life, man. I'm telling you. I lived this whole thing. But you know what?
This one is deep, man. This one is deep. And it's something because I know it's sparking something with everyone's mind when you're just hearing it. It says they need the success of others to balance out their failures. This is good for them, but pulls down the other person burdening them. I gotta read that one more time here on Dirty Church Radio. They need the success of others to balance out their failure.
So now, my question is, how do we help these people, man?
Or
is they lost?
You never want to say they lost. All right. But the beginning of anyone's deliverance is first admitting that you have a problem.
And that's what's hard for them to do.
Yeah. You just read it that they do wrong and don't even realize they do it wrong. And when they apologize and with no understanding of what they're apologizing for and what their wrong is, their violation.
And
you know what's sad?
You want to know what's sad about it? What happened to Jezebel?
Jezebel got ate up by the dogs.
Ding, ding, ding,
the
ding, 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 ding.
I just said her flesh is going to get eaten by dogs. And it happened just like the prophet Elijah said.
But you want to know why that happens like that? because their desire overrides any conscious they might have. Their only focus is on what they want. So
yep,
anything else doesn't matter.
It does not matter.
By any means necessary, they have a bloodthirst for what they desire. And
yep.
If you're in the way, you will be killed.
Yep.
And that's how many people are dying in the church because of the desires of people, and people are focusing on the desire, but there's no concern for anyone's soul.
Yep, it's happening right now as we speak.
So I'm only focused on this Bentley or this Rolls Royce or this 100 million. So I need that. And y'all just going to have to just make it. Forget your soul, whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's about my goal. And if you're in the way of my goal, now I declare you as an enemy.
Yeah.
And then I make you become enemies to others.
Yeah, you just read that too. Yep.
Yep.
That's some deep stuff, man. And listen, and the thing about it, though, right? And the thing about it, though, it's so crazy. How you get rid of, I'm seeing how you get rid of Jezebel is by first getting Ahab delivered.
There you go.
Amen.
There you go.
Listen, Ahab, look, man, look, I'm just saying from my point of view and what I'm seeing in my mental eye, man, you got men, they appear like a lion. They appear to be men of valor. And then behind the Jezebel spirit, they will move at the command of Jezebel.
Mm-hmm.
They shake your head. They shake your hand, and they greet you in a man of valor type way. But they underneath the dictatorship or the control of the JS, Jezebel spirit. They underneath the Jezebel spirit. And you see these people, they appear, I mean, some of them, they like our you know, cousins, our sisters, you know, I mean, you know, our dearest of friends. And yet, God has given us knowledge about these religious people. They're like the Pharisees, man. And they shoot down people, and actually they hindering people from really being delivered as long as they follow their way. But you can see them in the way they look, the way they walk, the way they talk. It's
but
really
you know how they rolling? You know how they rolling the sword? They rolling like this, right? It talks on here, like, they know how to tell the truth, but they also like the lie. And it says that they're sincere liars. They can
Mixing
lie sincerely.
Lies.
Believe
truth,
what they
lies.
Are
mm-hmm.
telling you. It says they can sincerely believe what they are telling you is the best thing to say. So that justifies it.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, how? Well, the apostle, you know. Answer the question somewhat, what happened to Jezebel? You know, the dogs ate her up, you know. And, you know, like Ahab, the prophet said, the dogs is going to lick his flesh, his dead corpse, and lick his blood. Like the prophet's blood that Jezebel slew, okay, because she killed off all the true prophets. Obadiah saved some of them. So the prophet Elijah said that Ahab, the dog, is going to lick your corpse and lick your blood as the blood that was shed by the prophets. And as of Jezebel, the dogs will eat her flesh. And so, you know, but my my heart is like, you know, listen, what do we do for these religious sisters, man? And brothers.
You know what to do?
I mean, only thing I see is we got to get more stern about how we walk in and not let them rub up on us the wrong way and like we really riding with them. That they can get a chance to see themselves. You know, you could be we could be mirrors to others. You could be a mirror to me to get me to see myself if you honest with me. You know, and some people, they don't need us to keep stroking them and, you know, and giving them that smile, man. Not that we God, but come on, man, you need to change.
You expose them by shining the light of the word on the situation.
There you go.
Wow. Yeah. The light of the situation.
The light of the word.
At that point, they're not rejecting us. They're rejecting the word of God.
Right.
Then after they reject the word of God, then their blood is not required to our hands. We did what we're supposed to do.
Right.
Somebody listening to this radio broadcast right now is under the influence of the Jezebel spirit. They hear this broadcast, they're no longer oblivious to the fact that they are under the influence of the spirit of Jezebel. If you're listening to this broadcast tonight on Dirty Church Radio and you know you fall under this category, you cannot hide behind the ignorance that you do not know, because you are hearing this word today and you being exposed to the fact to see yourself and to know that you are under the influence of this spirit. So you can no longer hide and say you didn't know.
But check this too, man, and I'm loving what I'm hearing, man, and I'm just throwing little things out here for people just to go in on, whatever. It says, socially, they are very agreeable, but actions can reflect rebellion against established values.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Hey, man, I'm telling you, man, Holy Ghost is something. I'm telling you. You know?
Wow.
It's like... Either we going to wake up, man, and realize that this spirit is real in our midst, you know. And, you know, like, do what we need to do, man, to be free, you know. It's like, hey, man, you know, I'm around this spirit, man. The same thing you read, man. I ain't never read that book, but I read people life. The life that I read is not the scriptures, because we walking epistles. They appear to be walking epistles, but they actually everything you reading to me, man. Brother Jay. And I'm saying it's real. So what it's doing for me, man, it's freeing me. It's freeing me from being caught up into...
And it's sharpening you, too.
Yeah, that I don't be confused, because confusion comes from the devil.
That's right.
You know, and sometimes I ask myself, you know, and get in the face of God and be like, you know, God, what is going on? Like, what is you saying and what is you doing? And, you know, and I'm saying, when I feel like, okay, God, is you saying I need to separate myself from these people? Or is you saying, you know, I just need to just endure? Hey, man, I'm saying what I'm amongst is what I'm hearing you read, man. And it's real. I ain't going to lie about it. I ain't going to sugarcoat it, you know. And
that's what this
show
is about, man.
Family members might even be listening to the radio. But I'm around this type of spirit, man, and it irks my spirit. It irks me. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying that I have arrived, you know, or I have apprehended, I'm waiting to put off this flesh that I may put on that glorified body, so that I may be apprehended. You know, so I'm walking in the way that God is telling me to walk. I'm not going to the left, but at the same time, I'm trying to figure out what is going on around me. And this is what it is, man. I'm around this spirit, man. I don't like it. But what I'm going to do?
When you stand wrong, right?
Not a stranger. You talking about your own family amongst this type of spirit, man. You know, and that's when it starts touching home. It's like, you know, your family. But Jesus said, a man, enemies shall be those of his own household.
Apostle, right? Check. It says it's an irresponsible spirit, right?
Yeah.
It does not admit to wrongdoing unless they get caught.
Ooh.
And normally they're careless, so may get caught a lot.
Say that again.
It says, first, it's an irresponsible spirit. It does not admit to wrongdoing unless they get caught. And then it also says, but they're careless, so they may get caught a lot.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they're also escape artists. They would try to run away from problems and start a new life with someone who may not know all about the problems entangling them.
Yep, I live that too. Everything you reading, brother, I experienced it firsthand. It's almost as if you are reading my life.
Wow.
Up until where I'm at now. Let me say that. But what you're reading, I lived that, let me see, from 2006 back to 1990. That's what you read was my life. So from 1990 to 2006, what you just read was my whole life.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, I slept with Jezebel. I ate with Jezebel. I shopped with Jezebel. I pastored a church with Jezebel.
All
right. So that's why this when you told me what the topic was, I was more than ready to talk about the topic. Because and I knew I was going to have to get real transparent so that somebody could see to understand the depth of what we're talking about. What we're talking about, it ain't nothing that just happened in the Old Testament. I'm a living example of that same scenario because I lived it. And I don't know who I'm getting ready to say this to, but somebody listening to this broadcast, you can be free from that spirit that he had. You can be free from it. Don't let Jezebel bamboozle you and make you really abort your promise. You could be free from that spirit that he had.
And you know something out there, everyone that's out there, right? This is something that I want to read to everybody that's out there, and even for the us that's on the show. And just pay close attention to this, just in case you came across this or lived this or living it now. It says sometimes Jezebel becomes temporarily remorseful, but soon she'll go back to her controlling tactics.
Yep.
When it comes to prayer, she would be praying for her own agenda. There is no power in that. True, fervent intercessory prayer causes hearts to change from pride and loftiness to repentance and humility. Nothing brings a greater death blow to the spirit of Jezebel. As a typical of Jezebel, she would complain that she wasn't appreciated enough.
Yep.
In her self-centered nature, she would go to any lengths by lying and exaggerating to make herself look spiritual. After all, when being self-centered, no one is as important as they are. Jezebel would state again and again that her decisions was the result of much prayer. She knows how to garner sympathy by knowing how to cry at the drop of a hat and fool almost anyone.
Yep, I live that too.
Wow. Wow.
This is a deep topic,
right? Because just like Brother Sword was saying, and you, and like he said, I commend you too for actually, you know what I mean, sharing part of your life on the show for thousands and thousands to hear. You know what I mean? But I know you're a man of God that would want someone, if they could be delivered from your situation, that's why you shared it.
Yep.
Because, you know, you went through it for a reason. God brought you out of it. And you know what I mean? And I know right now you have been delivered from all the bitterness and you know, the anger that you've held in your heart for a very long time concerning a lot of these matters. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And there's some people out there right now that may be holding on to some bitterness. Because
Let it go.
Because Jezebel will create bitterness in your heart that will fester like a cancer, and it will eat away trust. You know what I mean? It will eat away loyalty. You know what I mean?
Can I say this? When you're bitter like that, even if you're no longer around that Jezebel spirit, but if you walk around bitter with resentment, hatred in your heart, that's still a tactic of control for that spirit. Even though they're not around, they still are manipulating you and controlling you because you got a bitter root in you because of that. And what they do, they use that to continue to taunt you and control you. But when you get delivered and free from that, they no longer can manipulate you and control you, even from a distance. You might be 1,000 miles away from that individual, but if you got resentment and bitterness in your heart against that person, they can control you and manipulate you at the drop of a dime. Just the thought of them, when you bitter towards them, that's a way for them to manipulate you and control you. And until you get delivered from that, you will never be free from the control of that Jezebel spirit. That's why I'm saying, if you got bitterness in your heart towards that individual, you need to ask God to take it away from you so that you can be completely free from that spirit. And I'm telling you, it ain't nothing without God. You won't be able to do it without God. Take my word for it on this show tonight. You cannot do this without the word of God and without having a relationship with God. Because if you don't, you will die with this bitterness in your life. You can't get free from it on your own strength. You need the strength of God. You need the strength of God and the word of God. Without that, you will never conquer it. I know personally, when I gave this thing over to God and said, God, I don't want this hindering my ministry. I don't want this hindering. I do not want to leave this earth without completing and fulfilling my assignment. And God, I'm not going to be able to complete my assignment holding bitterness, hatred, malice, and wrath against this individual. I need to be free from this. When I prayed that prayer and constantly prayed it, God delivered me from all hatred, malice, bitterness in this situation. That's why I can sit on this phone tonight. I can talk about what I'm talking about. I don't have no resentment. I don't have no bitterness because, truth be told, it's making me a more powerful man of God. And I can say what I'm saying tonight with power and with conviction because I lived it and I know what I'm talking about. God is a deliverer. He's a healer. And if you fall under the auspices of that Ahab spirit and that Jezebel spirit, I'm here as a living witness that you can be delivered from it if you totally depend on God, because you can't do it in your own strength.
Amen.
Because your own strength is the strength of flesh, and flesh is not going to cast out flesh. Hatred, bitterness, wrath, malice, that is the fruit of flesh. And the flesh is not going to cast out flesh. You need the word of God and the power of God to kill your flesh, to kill your pride, because all that stuff is pride. Wounded ego, hatred, malice, bitterness, wrath. It takes the power of God and the word of God to kill that, man. And you'll never be able to do it without the word of God and the power of God. I'm telling you.
That's deep.
And it didn't happen overnight. And it didn't happen overnight. I had to stay in the face of God, man. I cried many nights. I cried many nights by myself, hurt, because I gave up my ministry to save my marriage, and I wound up losing both of them. Now, see, this is my personal testimony. I gave up my ministry to save my marriage because I felt like my first ministry was always my marriage. And
right.
Because I sacrificed that, I ended up losing it all. I lost my ministry, my marriage, everything. But guess what? God is getting ready to give me double for my trouble and triple for my trials, my friends. And when I look back again, it's going to seem as though I never lost a thing. Because God is a restorer. God is a restorer. When you know you're walking up right before God, God is a restorer. He's a restorer. So somebody that's listening to this broadcast, you might seem like you at your wit's end. You might feel like you can never get free from this spirit. You can never get free from being under the thumb of Jezebel. But I'm here to tell you as a living witness, you can do it. Jezebel wants you totally dependent on her. That spirit of Jezebel wants you to feel like you can't be successful without her. You can't make it without her. You can't even live without her. But the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. That codependent spirit dependent on Jezebel, man up. You don't need Jezebel. You don't need Jezebel. What you need is the authority and the power of God. That's all you need. And with that, you can do all things. Even conquer that spirit that confronts you that is named Jezebel.
Brother Apostle.
Yes.
Brother Apostle, how do you, in your own way, I mean, how could you minister to someone who understands that Jesus don't like divorce, but we know that he permitted it on some grounds, but what, let's say you have a Jezebel spirit and you marry to this spirit. Now what do you do?
All right, I'll use myself as an example. And again, I don't mind sharing because my life has always been an open book. This same woman that I'm referring to that I was married to, long story short, she backslid. She started partying. She started doing all these other things. Then she went out and had a baby by another man. The baby that she had wasn't mine. So at that point, that was the final straw. All
okay.
Right. Hold on. Let me finish. Hold on. I'm getting to the point. All right. So at this point, I'm ready to go and divorce. I'm sitting across from my lawyer's table. He pushes the documents over to me for me to sign, for me to have my marriage totally dissolved. I picks up the pen, and the Holy Spirit tells me, I didn't tell you to sign those papers. So I put the pen down and I sit back. And I started talking to the Holy Ghost in my mind. And the Holy Ghost said to me, as this marriage is going to end, let her end the marriage so that you can remain blameless, because you are my mouthpiece. You are my apostle. So as the marriage is going to end, let her sign the papers to end the marriage, so that when you're questioned, you can answer and answer blameless. All right? So,
all right,
go ahead.
Like, now, we know that Jesus did give us grounds for divorce based upon fornication. But when Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 5, he was speaking to a crowd who believed in the law of Moses, and he was making the comparison about looking at a woman with lust in your heart. You committed adultery already just by looking. So he intensified the way of grace. But what I'm saying is, and he said the only grounds, the law says that you can divorce for any cause. But the grounds under grace, he says, unless fornication, which is some type of sexual sin or adultery, has been committed, then you have grounds for divorce. Now, for one to go out and do such act, then that's grounds for divorce. But do you believe, what about this Jezebel spirit, and you have no evidence of going out and get pregnant or some type of sexual sin?
Okay. In that aspect, all right, it has to go back to what Minister Miller said. All right. Ahab, the brother, got to come to the place where he comes out of that Ahab mentality. All right. When the man stands up and says he's no longer going to deal with this stuff, it's either two things that are going to happen. Either she's going to conform to what the man is saying, or she's going to drive her own self out, especially if the man is flowing under the mandate of God. It is the man's responsibility to lead his house. Under that mandate alone, he's authorized and anointed to stand up as the man of his house and say he's no longer going to be dictated through the spirit of Jezebel.
Okay.
After he does that, it's either two things going to happen. Either she's going to conform to what he's saying, or she's going to leave.
Let's say she don't leave. She won't conform. He maintaining his head position that he's not going to do things under the dictatorship of this Jezebel spirit. I'm not talking about just his wife. I'm talking about another spirit that's controlling his wife. He's not going to yield unto that. He's going to walk in the scripture that says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And we know the church stumble and fall, do some things that ain't right, say some things that ain't right, but Christ, he still holds the church up. So now the man that's walking in authority, even if this female, be it wife, granted that's what we're talking about, even
mm-hmm.
if his wife, legally, his wife, who's being controlled by another spirit, a Jezebel spirit, he chooses not to submit to that spirit, but he chooses to embrace his wife. Do you believe, even if she decides to stay, that it
this
takes
is, let me, let me, let me,
the Holy Ghost.
Let me. This is what he needs. This is what he needs to do, brother. As the head of his house, he has the authority. He has the authority to speak to that spirit and cast it out of his house. Did you hear what I just said?
Right.
We got the authority. Not just the spirit of Jezebel, any unclean spirit. Ain't no devil coming in my house that I can't cast out, my friend. And if I need some help casting them out, I'm not ashamed to touch and agree with one of my brothers and sisters and drive that spirit right out of my house. The Bible says these kind come out by what? Fasting and praying.
Yeah, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, they shall cast out devils.
All right. So if the first thing he got to do is stop being a punk. Come from
right.
under the Ahab spirit, and then you decree and declare what's going to happen in your house. If you decreeing and declaring that you are not going to fall subject to the Jezebel spirit, you speak those things that be not as though they were. You speak it, and then you got the authority to cast that devil out. Either the devil going to go or she going to go.
That's somebody got to go.
You got that right.
Amen.
And it's sure not going to be me.
Amen, my brother.
So it's a simple solution. But you can't cast out the devil. You can't cast the devil out that you're afraid of.
Right, you'd be like the sons of Sceva. You'd be running outside naked somewhere.
With your tail between your legs, just like them.
Yeah. Naked.
You can't. See, the first thing you got to do is you got to gird up your loins. Like the Bible says, you got to gird up your loins. You got to have a helmet of salvation. You got to be properly dressed. You got to have on the whole armor. You can't confront Jezebel and not dress.
Right.
Once you dressed, you can confront Jezebel, but you can't confront Jezebel and you got your pants hanging down by your ankles. You got to be dressed.
Be like the guy was looking at this show, man. Old boy standing outside, the police pulls up, he going to run, his pants strip him because he hanging down.
Yeah,
he walks with his pants past your underwear, man. You're behind hanging out. He going to try to run.
Yeah, you know them brothers that be walking around with their pants hanging down thinking they cool? They don't even know. They under the influence of Ahab.
Yeah, yep, showing me behind them. So,
wow.
But yeah, man. You know.
So how would you say? How would you say now, though, when it comes to this Ahab and Jezebel? How do you get Ahab delivered? Right. And
you want to? Okay, go ahead. You're not done.
Yeah. How do you get Ahab delivered? Right? In the midst of, I just heard Sword talking about, you know, a man being married to a Jezebel spirit. He has no evidence of what, you know, because, you know, Jezebel is very cunning and she knows how to shift blame. She knows, she also knows how to fall into victimhood. She knows how to play the victim very well. All right? And she's smart enough if Ahab even tries to get delivered, all right, how does he get delivered in the midst of a Jezebel and still be the head?
I'm going to say it again. it's a simple solution. These kind come out only by fasting and praying. And I'm going to say this, you got to, most Ahabs are generational. Because Ahab really, what it became was a generational curse. All right? So when you are under the auspices of an Ahab spirit, you got to surround yourself around some positive brothers that exemplify what a free man is.
Yeah, and like you said, it's a generational curse. His father was wicked, the scripture says, and it says Ahab was above them in wickedness.
Yep, he did worse than his father did.
But the scripture says he was more wicked.
He was like the most wicked than any other king.
Right, that's what the scripture said. So it's like he inherits the wickedness from his generation.
Yep.
His father. And his
that's why I said what I said. And it goes from generation to generation to generation. And the thing about it, to get back into answering your question, you have to get around. First of all, you got to seek out somebody that exemplifies the thing that you want. All right, you got to find an example of a man that's ruling his house well. All right,
Ahab spirit might. I just want to throw this in there. The Ahab spirit, it might be hard for him to get the help of another man because he may think that man wants Jezebel.
Well, it's a whole lot of different variables. You're right. There's a whole lot of different variables. But let me tell you something. When you get fed up of a situation, when you really get fed up, you be like, you know what? If that's what it takes for me to be free, then so be it.
Mm.
And if a man's thinking like that, he really ain't fed up. He really not fed up. When you get fed up,
in bondage.
Yeah, when you get fed up,
fear is keeping him in bondage. He fears somebody gonna take something from him.
And it's hard for him to function without Jezebel because she's the one with the heart. He's the wimp.
Yeah, that's why he got to man up. I mean, it's all an illusion because what she does is Jezebel, listen, this is deep. Jezebel suppresses his manhood.
Wow.
That's what the spirit of Jezebel does to a man. It suppresses his manhood and makes him codependent. It makes him codependent on the power that Jezebel has, because Jezebel strips him of his identity and his power.
Wow.
So what he got to do is he got to get his manhood back, because Jezebel strips you of your manhood.
Well, S-Bug, you've been sitting on here quiet for a while since we started. What's your take on Ahab and Jezebel?
Say that again.
I said, I'm talking to S-Bug right now. He's been on the line with us for a minute, but he's been quiet. I guess he ain't think we knew he was on the line. So what's going on? What's your take on Jezebel and Ahab, S-Bug? Hello? Oh, I guess S-Bug don't want to say nothing. He don't want to talk to me.
It's all about change, man. We promoting change on Dirty Church Radio. Change is what it's about. Trying
and accepting that there's a problem.
Yeah, before you can fix it, I think you said it before, you got to first recognize it.
You got to see
that you got a problem before you can fix the problem.
That's
and
right.
The problem with a lot of people is pride. Pride
That's
gets
right.
in the way, and we don't want to deal with no admissions. You got to admit that you need help, that you got a problem, and then that's where the whole process begins, right?
That's
here.
Right. That's right,
you
Brother Sword.
Not feeling ashamed or feeling bad. I mean, some things we do we should feel ashamed about, But we talking about God bringing deliverance, God bringing help, God bringing a way of escape. The book says we are in all points tempted. No, the book says God with a man has not been tempted, but with that which is such is common to man. And with the temptation, God will provide a way of escape.
Way of escape.
And so God is providing a way for us to come up out of whatever it is that's been holding us back, keeping us down for so long, and try to become different. If we keep doing the same thing, we're going to keep getting the same results. So we got to do something different if we want something different.
That's
you
right.
Know, no matter what it is. You know, so.
And if you think you're going to get a different result by doing the same thing, you really crazy.
Yep.
Right.
You need, they got medicine for that, too.
Yeah, they say it's insane to keep doing the same stuff over and over and expecting something different to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I'm
saying?
Before you
do a thing, before you can do a thing, you got to first acknowledge it. Before you can change a flat tire, that flat tire has to be acknowledged before it's changed. Even if you don't verbally acknowledge it, seeing it is still acknowledging it.
Wow. Yo, Apostle. Hello?
Yeah.
Yo, and you know, and this is something that has took place on this show a lot of times, right? Listen to this. It says, denial and flawed logic. People use, like, denial and a flawed logic to support a rebellion against biblical truth or any truth.
Now, that's deep.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and I even see that even in Jezebel, appealing to the intellect.
Or the lack of it.
Or the lack of it. But the thing about it, she'll present you something that you can touch tangibly, which makes it seem more believable, which will keep you from tapping into faith. The spiritual part of you. She'll keep you carnal. She'll keep you, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah, man. Thank she'll God, keep man. You carnally minded.
You thank God, man.
And when I say she, I mean that spirit. I'm not talking, I don't want no one to think I'm talking about just a woman. I'm talking about that spirit. And whatever gender that spirit falls on.
Well, you know where that where that the spirit first appeared.
Talk to me.
That's the same spirit. That same subtle spirit. That same subtle spirit that Genesis talked about with the serpent. It's still the same devil. It's still the same devil. But now he got another name. It's called Jezebel.
Wow. Jezebel.
So it's still the same devil, just using a different method or a different approach. But it's still the same snake that was in the garden.
But you know what? Even a worse the worst situation is though. For you to be in an atmosphere where you're tag teamed by an Ahab and a Jezebel.
Yeah, that's bad.
Like, when you're feeling, what's even worse is when you're put in a place where you're being tag teamed by an Ahab and a Jezebel, not just by one spirit, but when you become the enemy of both.
Yeah, that's double the pressure.
Because, you know, they feed off of each other. Like, I was just reading. Like, they feed off of each other. And they accomplish their agenda by them feeding off of each other.
That's like having two snakes chasing you instead of one.
So give me a sense. Give me a That's deep. So give me a scenario where we're put in a position to be attacked by Ahab and Jezebel.
When you are a member of a church, when you are a member of a church and the leaders are Ahab and Jezebel, and then God reveals to you what you're under, and then you want to shed light on it. All right.
What is the casualty report of that tag team?
What is the what? Say it again.
What is the casualty report? What type of stuff happens in church when you have both of them together?
You have a whole bunch of sheep being led to the slaughter. And the Bible says, woe to that shepherd that scatters the flock. And you know what's sad about it? You know what's sad about it? God is not even going to worry about Jezebel because he's going to hold Ahab accountable.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand, Jay, when you say tag team, you're talking about Jezebel and Ahab going back and forth?
No, I'm talking
working
about
together.
Them. I'm talking about them working together coming at you. When Jezebel and Ahab attack Sword, when they attack,
you know,
Papa Young.
You know what happened? It's like Apostle said, it's either two things. It's either Sword gonna stay there under attack, or Sword gonna go where he can get the right type of understanding and the right help. Because like when you in the midst of a Ahab and Jezebel spirit, you got to have, like the Bible says in the Old Testament, Jesus' face was like flint. Flint, I deal with concrete. Flint is a type of stone. Like when you think of show you flint is stone. When we was younger, we was kids, we used to watch Flintstone. Everything is made of stones. Everything is made of stone. So when it says Jesus, it says, and his face shall be as flint. It means that he will be hard. Jesus, he wasn't that. I mean, like, you know, in layman terms and in street terms, we call it shooting a rock or shooting a prison. It's when you looking serious and you ain't playing no games. The scripture says his eyes was like a flame of fire. That means that he was serious. You can look in his eyes and you might melt because he was serious. So being amongst the Jahab and the Jezebel spirit, you got to set your face like flint. Everything ain't no joke.
That's
ain't no
right.
Time to be playing around. You
That's
know?
Right.
So if you...
Hold that thought. 1 second. I'm not cutting you off, but we got another caller on here from a 977 number. What's going on, caller?
Hey, Glenn.
How you doing?
I'm good.
What
I know
do you
y'all
feel about?
Get off the air soon. I don't want to miss out.
Is this my cousin?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what's going on, cuz? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm listening. I've been in that situation where I've been caught in between a Jezebel and an Ahab.
All right, here we go.
I called them both out. I called them out. I told them what was operating in them, and Jezebel took off. She don't come this way. She don't come by my home. She don't call my house. She stay away from me. But even though I've called it out and explained to her what it is and what she needs to do, I've invited her to come to my church. I've prayed for her. You know, she don't want to set that free. She don't want to release it, so there's nothing I could do with her. But this Ahab spirit, I know this young man, and he was always, you know, a dominant person, but he got caught up in a bad situation, and he just happened to run into her. So now he feels like he's totally dependent on her just because she called him at that right time. And no matter what I say or anybody else says, you know, it's only what she says that counts. Because now he's totally dependent on her, and she wants all the glory for everything that he receives, everything that happens with him, to him, and it's gotten to the point where it's torn our entire church, our entire family. When I say church, I'm talking about family. It's torn us apart. Because I won't tolerate it, and I won't allow it to be in my presence or in the presence of my children. But nobody else can see with the eyes that I see with, so they don't really understand what I'm talking about. You know, they just say, oh, that's just how she is. You know, you got to ignore that. I'm not going to ignore it because I won't have it in my presence. So either we're going to handle it or she can't be here. You know, so it's caused a, she has caused a huge division in my home.
Wow, and it's something you said that, because it says Ahab and Jezebel represent the destruction of the individual family and church family.
Oh, man, that's deep right there. That's
deep. I came in the church, and
I lived it.
My church, and I had to walk out, and I had to go, you know, I had to talk to the Holy Spirit, and I had to pray before I could come back in because it was, I want her to come because, you know, I want her delivered. At the same time, it threw me off because she was in my place of worship. And then she was talking to my pastor. And something was coming over me. You know, at first I just wanted her out. But I realized, you know, even though she don't realize she's in a place where she can get help, you know, I had to let it be.
Wow. That's something. Yo, we appreciate you calling in tonight, sharing that with us on 30 Church Radio, you know what I mean? And I wish more people would actually call. It seemed like a lot of people would be scared of something to call on to the show because, you know, like
that's
this.
That's that spirit, man. That's that spirit.
We're trying to talk about stuff. We ain't trying to hide nothing or sugarcoat nothing. We want to deal with people are dealing with, those thoughts that you think about by yourself when no one is around. That's what we want to talk about. Those thoughts that you've been hiding in the closet.
They can't call because they with Jezebel right now.
Yeah, man. And they want to call.
They want to call, but they scared of Jezebel.
Because they better not pick that phone up in front of her.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Well, we keep them in our hearts and prayers that, you know, like the apostle said, you know, we got the power to cast out, you know, any demon or devil that's trying to hinder somebody who wants freedom. You know, we walk with that power. And so, you know, it's by God's grace that, you know, he allowed the radio, the Dirty Church Radio to be in existence, that, you know, somebody can find some help. And, you know, like some things I might can't express in my home church or with my family or you know, with another Christian, but I get on Dirty Church Radio and talk about some of my innermost feelings, man, some things that I'm going through. Just like Apostle put his family on, he put his business on radio. You know, get a chance to express yourself, and that's how you help other people by being able to talk about your experience, you know, like real experience. Just like how you, the sister just got on and was talking about, you know, the Jezebel and Ahab spirit being amongst her church and her family. I believe maybe about maybe an hour ago, I was just saying the same thing. I'm living around that spirit. I'm dealing with that spirit. You know, and it grieves me to my heart because I know Minister Jay just read that his purpose is to break up the family and break up the church. And I'm experiencing it as we speak. But I have to endure, you know, and set my face like flint. And as the apostle said, do what the scripture said. And once we bring the word of God, you know, in any situation, that supersedes no matter what.
These people say they are God. They say they love God. Well, you know, the word says, you know, and this is what it is. You know, either you're going to abide by the word or you're going to abide by another spirit calling it God. You know, then God said what his word says. If God told you something, it's going to line up with the word. You know, see,
that's
you got
right.
a lot of people with the Jezebel spirit, they always saying God said, and it ain't lining up with when you bring God's word to them, and they say, yeah, but God said. No, God said what his word says. And if
that's
it
right.
ain't in his word, if it ain't in his word, you got to really check it out and make sure that you listening to God or you listening to the Jezebel spirit.
Because people use God said to get their agenda accomplished. You know what I mean? To get their personal purpose, you know what I mean, to come to pass. So people always use God to get what they want, not what he want. They use him to get what they want. And that's what happened. And that's a great example of Jezebel. She'll use whoever it is to get what she wants.
Yep.
And Ahab will give her the permission to do so.
Yep.
And you know something, tonight normally I'm going to do something different on the show tonight. We have Apostle, we have Sword on the line. Tonight, since we're dealing with confronting the Jezebel and Ahab spirit, and we're going to continue this show on Sunday evening, confronting the Jezebel and Ahab spirit in the church, part two, because it's a whole lot of stuff we haven't even tapped into. And I know it seems like we tapped into a lot, but this situation is so broad and vast that we're going to do another episode on this. But tonight, Apostle, I want you to pray against that spirit. And being that we're on the radio and that it may be, you know, a lot of ears may be hearing this, I want you to pray this against this spirit, against this war that's going on in our homes and in our churches that's destroying and dividing families. I want you to pray, and we're going to just close this episode of the show out in just prayer right now.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, first of all, we come before you, giving your name praise and giving your name thanks, even for the opportunity to be on this radio show tonight to dig into the spirit and expose the spirit of Ahab and Jezebel. And Lord, we thank you for exposing it the way you have exposed it tonight on this radio show. And we pray right now over these airways, and we let these spirits know that we see you. We are acknowledging you just for the reason of exposing you. And any person that's under the spirit of Ahab and Jezebel, we pray right now for healing, deliverance from this spirit. We command the hand of Satan now to loose your power over the minds of these people. We speak freedom over the airwaves. We bind this spirit right now. We bind the spirit of Ahab. We bind the spirit of Jezebel. Free their minds. Release their minds. Let them know that they can be free, God. Let them know that they can be delivered from these foul spirits. Any woman that is under the auspices of this foul Jezebel spirit, you can be free from this spirit. I speak freedom. I speak deliverance in your life right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, have your way right now. Move supernaturally right now in the name of Jesus. I come against malice. I come against bitterness. I come against wrath. I come against the spirit of pride right now in the name of Jesus. They all are the fruit and the results of Ahab and Jezebel. I denounce that spirit, I denounce the spirit of Ahab. I denounce the spirit of Jezebel. I speak now for the Holy Ghost, the anointing of God, to arrest that spirit, cast that spirit back into the pit of hell where it has no power, where it has no authority. We have the authority of God. Men, we will be men. Women will be women. We fall under the authority of God right now, because you said in your word, where the spirit, where there's liberty, there's the spirit of God. Give us the liberty and the spirit of God on tonight, because where there's liberty, there's freedom. Let us be free from this foul spirit right now in the name of Jesus. I claim clarity, I claim freedom, and I claim liberty for each person that's under the sound of my voice that might be dealing with this spirit. I speak freedom over your life right now in the name of Jesus. It is so. It is so by the power of God. I claim it over your lives right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And it is so. Listen, everyone, we enjoy everyone and thank everyone that tuned in tonight. I believe this was a very great episode that will impact not only the lives of the listeners, but even the lives of us that are on the line during Dirty Church Radio. And I'm looking forward to many great opportunities to confront things that we've been hiding from, that we've been turning our back on. Because I believe in this season it is time for us to truly be delivered from everything that has been keeping us from getting to the place that God has purposed us to be. And I pray that we all begin to truly walk in our true callings and get on the ball in dealing with our true assignments that God has given each and every one of us.
Yes,
listen, prayer and blessings to all of y'all. Please enjoy your holiday. Happy Thanksgiving. Spend time with your family. Show love.
I don't know.
Embrace, show the love of God. And listen, join us Sunday night at 8 p.m. for the next episode of Dirty Church Radio. God bless you all. I'm Minister Jay Miller, and I thank all my friends and family who've been tuning in and supporting. God bless you all. I love you.
Love you, too.
Bless you.